My name is Paul H. Utes, and my father's name is Paul A. Utes. My father, I was first of all raised in Kwajalein, Marshall Islands in the South Pacific from the age of 5 through 7th grade. My father was relocated from that military installation to Nellis Air Force Base, where he continued to serve out his career. He had always informed our family that he was an optical engineer and worked on at Range 61 and Range 62, which are is a non-secure range north of Tonopah, Nevada. My father would leave every morning at about 4:30, quarter to 5, and come home very late at night, about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So I really didn't have much interaction with him growing up. Well, first of all, he would leave at the airport. We lived very close to the airport, very close to where Wayne Newton lives in that area of Las Vegas. And he would get on a 737 aircraft that was unmarked, that did not have any identification numbers on it. There was a number of them, maybe 5 or 6 aircraft in the fleet. He would leave on this aircraft every morning. He did a lot of TDY missions to...
And he would fly from where to where? This is real detail.
Sure, no problem. From Las Vegas to Area 51, which is also known as Dreamland, or... years, the same planes were being used. Also, there was a number of different people. One of the people that I'd like to mention was my father's boss. His name was Tom Hamilton. He was on Kwajalein Missile Range, and most of the people that were in the group at the missile range transferred to this particular area of the country. My father, basically, very conservative. I was raised a Republican. I was very active in the LDS Church growing up.
Can you say what that is? Most people don't know what that is.
The Mormon Church, or Latter-day Saints Church, which is a very conservative. Usually, most people that are in the church are Republican based. And we basically. My father was very conservative in his nature. He would bring a lot of equipment home from time to time. We'd keep it in the garage, and then it would disappear. He would take it back to wherever he was. This whole story really begins when, after he retired, and this was in 1993, I was working in an export business and was going back and forth between San Francisco area and Munich, Germany, and my father and I hooked up over there, and it was one of the first times that I really ever had the opportunity to interact with him and to converse with him. And we sat in a beer garden in Munich, and he basically had been withholding a tremendous amount of truths, and He had come to a point where he wanted to share with me a little bit more about himself and who he was, because he felt that he had neglected me growing up. And he had told me that he had worked at a secure installation. And as I queried him further, he talked about that he was given different technologies that were given from universities. That's what his explanation was, and that he and his team were to recreate the technologies or adapt them in certain ways. The project that he had worked on, he had been working on it for a number of years, like 5 or 6 or 7 years, and it concluded when they had tested a device that was supposed to be a new type of energy source direction. And they had taken it out into the range. And it had literally blown up when they tried to activate it, and they tried to turn it on. One of the things that he found interesting was that it had a lot of organic composition within the material structure. And my father isn't a very detailed oriented person because he lives a whole life of secrets. And I think this is more of an emotional issue for me, because my whole life I thought my father was somebody else than he really was. And my parents divorced after 28 years of marriage. A lot of these reasons occurred. I remember in high school my father was getting security clearances that he called a family meeting and had literally said, you're going to be investigated. I'm going through a process right now, and you know, there may be people around you. And my father told me that he was going for a Q clearance, and he was a GS-16 rated in government service. He had started at White Sands Missile Range in his career, and then continued on through his whole career during the same direction. My mother was working as a legal secretary at the time, and there was people that were following us from our house that were not even trying to be secret about it. They were just kind of like in unmarked police vehicles and cars like that, and we didn't really think anything of it because, you know, my dad told us that that's what was going to happen, and that was something that was a little bit unusual that it occurred. And then there had been some other things that had occurred with Tom Hamilton. I didn't make the connection, nor did I see Tom Hamilton for years. And when I was in high school, we were finishing up a baseball game, and my father had stopped, said I wanted to go. He said I want to go see a friend, and we pulled into a bar, and we went into the bar, and my father doesn't drink or anything like this, and I guess he felt I was old enough to go in. But when I went inside, there was Tom Hamilton that I hadn't seen since I was 5 or 6 years old. And that's when the first connection was made that Tom was still acting as my father's boss. And Tom had a severe drinking problem. He was a very heavy alcoholic, and I even remember that as a kid. And then that's what started the whole perspective of what does my father do, you know, the planes that he gets on, what is he doing, where is he going, what kind of equipment is he bringing home. But I do remember him getting frustrated at one time when he took a bunch of equipment that he had to Dreamland, and one of the rules he told me is that nothing comes out of there. He says anything that comes in there stays there, even all the trash and everything. And he also did a lot of TDY trips to Mercury.
What is TDY?
It's a temporary assignment of duty, I think. But he would do a lot of to Dugway and to Dugway and a lot of different bases, I mean, where he would go. Well, he says that it was developed by a university and that it was a technology, and that his group and his team were developing it further and studying it further, and that it had organic components and organic, almost like it had a consciousness. And he wasn't given the whole piece. He was only given a certain aspect of it. And I think that there was other teams working on other aspects of the same unit. And I think that was part of security protocol to keep things segregated and not, you know, need to know basis type of thing. And when they tried to reinvent it, it blew up. I don't think my father would have told me any of this if he hadn't been intoxicated. And I think as the years get older, that right now my father is a very miserable person because he doesn't have any family anymore. He's retired. He's very wealthy, and we really don't understand a lot of where he gets a lot of his funding, his money, because we were raised upper middle class, but we didn't have excessive anything. But
he's suspicious to you given the kind of projects he works.
Well, Well, you know, I'm working hard right now. My mother's working hard right now. You know, we're all working, and my father is going to club meds all around the world, you know, one after the other, bored with his life and unfulfilled in his soul. I think there's so much withholding issues that he has dealt with in this area that it's really clouded his vision.
What is your father?
Oh, the government has lots of secrets, and I realize that. We had knew everything on the missile range. We had everything we could think of. I mean, abundance of everything. But it was also the years of I want to tell another story that is very poignant, and I think I'm just remembering this now, and that is that we were watching TV, and this is when the stealth bomber had come out. And my father got up out of his chair, and it was the news, and he made a phone call, and a few minutes later he was picked up in front of the house, and he said he'd be back in a few days. That's what he told us, and then he left. And when he came back, he had said that President Carter had taken some highly secretive information regarding the stealth technology and released it to the media for the purpose of creating a political agenda for himself and other people. But what had happened is that they were trying to figure out where the leak had occurred, and my father was a suspect in that, and there were some other people that were as well. And that was, I was in 11th grade when that occurred, and that was very, very interesting. Well, we didn't really operate as a family unit, being open about our feelings. Everything was kept a secret, and so that was carried on, you know, even my mother, you know. And so it affected us as human beings, and it, you know, when I graduated school, it was very difficult to interact with people because I felt that there was a lot of discord that was going on, and you know, what is the truth and what is a lie, and where do they come together? And so I had a lot of values about that. I had a lot of issues with that, and the way that I dealt with that personally is I just left the scene the moment that I could financially and after my education to go do what I wanted to do and just ignore him. And we really kept at a distance for quite a number of years until the encounter in Germany where he broke down to me. It's amazing that I remember some of these names like Tom Hamilton, because I think he was such a main psychological visualization of somebody that I would see a number of years apart, and he was always drinking martinis, and you know, he was trying to cover up the pain, and that's the way I look at it now. It's like there was a pain that he was covering up being involved with all of this, and his son Timothy, I mean, that I kind of saw later, a number of years later, you know, had a lot of the same issues that I did with my father. I mean, didn't really interact with him. A lot of secrets, a lot of separation.
Was Mr.
But my father had a lot of access. I remember going up to secure areas on Range 61, which is just east of Tonopah. It's mostly that whole area east of Tonopah. And he had all the keys and all the codes and you know, special badges, and he would, you know, we'd go through locked security gates and then take, you know, government trucks and government vehicles. And I was always amazed because my father wasn't a military man and really despised the military. Didn't really respect a lot of the upper-ranking officers. You know, he would always say, Mr. Edwards or somebody, I don't like him. Or, you know, he always had something negative to say. So there was always contention going between the civilians in the military.
Who did he work for exactly?
The civil service.
So what branch?
He was a GS-16, and which is a government service rated, which I think it's an equivalent to what like a lieutenant colonel would be. if you were to compare them. And he did have some sort of authority in that direction.
Was it Air Force, or who was it?
Air Force.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get.
I think it just really added up when he started telling me that he really wasn't the optical engineer that he had told me he was, and that he was involved with a number of different scientists, and he had a part in this team to create a new energy source, and that's what they were doing. But I think that it had to do with the promotion that he had. It was called a Q clearance, but and it did change a lot of markings on his badge. I mean, he had a badge and it had his photo on it, and there was a number of squares that went all the way around it, and for years there was only certain squares filled in, and then when he received this other clearance, then there was all of them filled in except just a few that weren't filled in. So I don't think that he had complete access.